I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Thursday, the 1st of October already. Last week, Volkswagen finally admitted that it had sold 11 million diesel cars with software that lowered pollution levels during emission testing. The cars were actually spewing much more dirt than allowed by law. VW cheated. 482,000 of those cars were sold in the U.S. 11 million of those cars with evasive software were sold throughout the world. How has VW responded? How will the problem be fixed? What's happening with VW dealerships in the United States? If you have a VW, have you lost your loyalty to this brand? VW last year was the largest selling car maker in the whole world. I would imagine that won't be the case for this year. Joining us is our wonderful car person. She's more than that, but we always talk to her about cars because she knows them. Mickey Maynard is director of she is now the managing editor of web content at the Reynolds Center for Business Journalism at the Cronkite School of Arizona State University, and she is also a contributor to Forbes. She's written a great deal about the issue for Forbes. And we'll be welcoming phone calls from you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. We love to read your comments. And we're also on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. Mickey, hello. Nice to talk to you again.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi. Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, our great pleasure. So tell me, what exactly did VW do? Is this a small thing that was put in some computer? What did they do?
So this dates back about 8 years. Volkswagen, around 2007, was developing new diesel engines for vehicles sold worldwide. And it was facing a couple of things: stricter diesel emission standards in Europe and stricter standards in the United States. It had two choices. It basically could develop a device that would allow the cars to meet those standards. Mm-hmm. And what it found out was that it would cost about $350 a car to put that device on the tailpipe, essentially, of these vehicles. Now, in the auto industry, a dollar is a lot, $10 is a lot, because you're talking about huge volumes of these vehicles. So $350 per car for VW was just seen as way too expensive. So they decided, apparently, to take another route, which was to develop what's called a defeat device, which would essentially trick the car into thinking it was more energy or emissions friendly than it actually was. So for years now, VW diesel engine vehicles around the world and Audi vehicles and Skoda vehicles, which are sold in Europe, have been equipped with this defeat device.
Mm. Well, when you're talking $350 a car, I know people in Europe who drive these cars and have for years because they thought that they were doing good things for the environment. Maybe if they had done the right thing, people would, and said, we're doing the right thing, it's going to cost you an extra $350, but it's good for the earth, people still would have bought the cars.
You know, it was a decision that actually would make more sense in Europe than it would in the United States, because Europeans are used to paying about 25% more per vehicle than we do in the United States. And the reason is that not as many people own cars in Europe. Gas is much more expensive in Europe, and they're just used to paying more for vehicles. Here in the United States, though, dealers compete on incentives and price cuts, and it's a very, very hectic market out there. So if you're looking at a vehicle and you're deciding whether to spend $350 more for the energy-friendly one versus less for one you think is probably energy-friendly, I think the choice is pretty easy.
Right. So this was discovered in California, right?
Right. So what happened was, it's kind of an interesting, almost a mystery story, because there was a group of regulators out in California that wanted to test the emissions of cars on the road, not just in the laboratory. And the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, generally has checked emissions of cars in the laboratory, and their labs are right here in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Oh.
So these researchers thought, I wonder what cars do when they're out on the road. And they just happened to pick a fleet that started started with two VWs. So they went out on the road to test these vehicles. And at the same time, there were researchers at West Virginia University who were involved in this testing series. And what they found was that the car's emissions out on the road were not anywhere near what they were supposed to be, according to the information they got from the company. So in real-world testing, that's where this was detected.
And VW fired back, as you've written. They tried to poke holes in the study and in the methods.
Right. So their testing started in 2013. In 2014, they presented the information to VW and to the EPA, and VW basically said, you guys screwed up. You didn't do the test properly. You have to read our data this way. They basically came up with a whole list of reasons why the researchers were wrong. And the EPA's ears pricked up. And essentially, VW kept fighting and fighting and fighting. And when a company fights that hard, the regulators want to know why. Mm-hmm. So it took until this April for VW to even acknowledge that there might be something going on. And it tried to make an offer to the EPA to basically, you know, do a voluntary fix but not admit any wrongdoing. And the EPA would not buy it.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have a huge number, 11 million of these cars, and from what I'm reading this week, it might affect some of their other cars as well.
Yes, so it's actually closer to 14 million worldwide, because you have to include Audi and you have to include the Skoda brand, which is sold primarily in Europe. So there aren't any Skodas in the U.S., but there are plenty of Audis. And the interesting thing about this is that VW had been one of the only options out in the market for diesel-powered cars. There are some Mercedes and BMW vehicles that have diesels available, but essentially if you're making the decision to buy a diesel car, you're buying it from Volkswagen or Audi. Detroit car makers don't really put diesels in their cars. They do put them in their big trucks. But so if you're out there thinking, well, I'm going to buy one of these great clean diesel vehicles from Volkswagen, I'm going to have this great gasoline mileage because diesel gives you better gas mileage than gasoline generally. All these people thought they were doing the right thing.
Right.
And now they found out that they didn't do the right thing. And all these dealers thought they were telling the truth to consumers, and instead they were inadvertently lying to consumers.
So what is VW going to do?
Well, your guess is as good as mine. Essentially, they say they are developing a software fix. So for the listeners who don't understand how this works, basically the software is programmed so that the vehicle seems to be putting out less dirt from the tailpipe than it actually is. And that's called a defeat device. So what Volkswagen first has to do is dismantle the defeat device, and then it has to assure that the cars actually are clean. So it could end up being a two-step process. First, they go into your computer, and then they may have to retrofit these cars with a sort of basically a bladder that would suck up all these dirty emissions and then make sure that you had cleaner air coming out of your car.
Hmm. Well, they're probably going to have to do that, aren't they? Otherwise, why would you have a defeat device on the car?
Well, this is the interesting thing, because the amount of money that this is going to cost, it's going to be billions and billions
really?
Of dollars. And everybody will have to bring their car in. Dealers will have to spend time retrofitting these cars. Volkswagen will have to reimburse the dealers for it. So we've had a couple of examples of big, big recalls over the last few years, one at General Motors and one at Toyota. But the fix for those vehicles was relatively small and simple versus what Volkswagen will have to do to fix these diesel-powered vehicles.
And tell me about VW. Was indeed the biggest car seller in the whole world last year? Was that
well
right?
for the first half of 2015? And so VW, under the CEO who just left, Martin Winterkorn, was on a drive to become the world's biggest car maker, and it was actually trying to get there by 2018. But instead, it was so aggressive, building a lot of plants, including one in Chattanooga, Tennessee, introducing new models, just expanding sales in the U.S. like crazy, China, other markets. They got to their target by the first half of 2015. Mm. So They got to be the world's biggest car maker, but I wrote a story called The Curse of the World's Biggest Car Maker. It's almost a position you don't want because something has gone wrong for GM, something has gone wrong for Toyota, and now something has gone wrong for Volkswagen.
For something of this magnitude, the former car executive said, and you quoted him, one would expect that the CEO would know, and if he doesn't know, then he's willfully ignorant. You would expect the person at the top to know what was going on. Wouldn't you expect a lot of people to know what was going on?
Well, sure. So diesels are incredibly important in the European car market. So first of all, I would expect people who develop diesel engines to know about this. And then I would expect people marketing those vehicles to know about this. And Martin Winterkorn, who's the former CEO, has said, I don't believe that I had committed any wrongdoing, which
right.
is sort of an odd way to sort of exonerate yourself. But he said, I don't think I did anything myself. But it's very hard to believe that in a company like Volkswagen, which is a top-down kind of company, that he didn't know or that people near him didn't know.
Mm-hmm. So the new guy who's in is clean as a whistle?
Right. Well, he was at Porsche, and now there are some suspicions that Porsche also might have sold some vehicles with these diesel engines. So they've cycled in the new guy, and you know the new guy we don't know, but he may be tainted by this as well.
Mm-hmm. What about the EPA's response, telling car companies you've written that
right.
they are stepping up emission scrutiny of all passenger vehicles on the road? Are they?
Yes. So the EPA has the ability under law to both look at vehicles in the lab and also look at vehicles on the road. And as I was saying earlier, generally what they've been doing on emissions is they run cars through their lab in Ann Arbor and they just accept what the gauges and the laptops show. But what they're now saying is that we may pull vehicles, you know, that are off the road to test those. And by the way, we may not certify some vehicles while we're doing this. So, for example, Volkswagen is not able to sell any 2016 diesel-powered cars. So if you were waiting for like a Jetta with a diesel engine, you may just have to wait until all this is over with.
I think you probably changed your mind as soon as this story, you called him up and said, sorry, I don't think I want that.
The interesting thing about this, though, is that Volkswagen has marketed these diesels very aggressively over the last couple of years. And people can go on YouTube and see some very entertaining commercials that Volkswagen ran. And they basically tried to give like a character to these diesel engines. So it just goes to show you that you be careful what you wish for. You want these engines to be iconic, but then something can go wrong.
So it was all for the money?
Well, yeah, I mean, my sense is that somebody looked at a $350 per car, you know, expense and just said, find another way. But, you know, there's finding another way doing it cheaper, and there's finding another way doing it by cheating. And in this sense, that's what VW did.
Right. So what's happening with dealerships in the United States? I would imagine that some are, well, in the world, really, but we live here. So are they struggling with this?
Well, the dealers don't know anything yet. So Volkswagen hasn't told them what kind of a repair will need to be made to these cars. They're kind of dangling. I know they have a lot of angry customers.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
know the dealers themselves are distraught because, you know, your integrity, your brand depend on a truth being told by your company. And mm-hmm. here you have these businessmen and women across the United States who had nothing to do with this, whose salespeople were selling these diesels and making promises. And now it turns out that those promises were false.
Will their other brands suffer, the non-diesel cars?
Well, you might think so. I mean, Volkswagen has done very, very well in the U.S. market over the last couple of years. So basically, they sell Volkswagen, Audi, and Porsche here in the United States. And a lot of people, especially on the East Coast, really love Audi vehicles. And then Volkswagen has expanded its sales in the U.S. And there are a lot of folks who love the handling of a Volkswagen. I've owned a Volkswagen New Beetle, the redesigned Beetle. And then I recently had the redesign of the new Beetle as a rental car. And there's just something fun about driving a Volkswagen if you like that feel to a car. So it's kind of a shame that they had gotten people into their showrooms, and now people may just throw up their hands and say, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah. That was my first car I bought. Oh. It wasn't new. It was far from new. And my father, I know, hated the fact that I was buying it. It was kind of wired together, you know. And I said, oh, don't worry. I was going to go all across the country. And, of course, it fell apart in Ohio. And I had to wire my mom and ask, Mom, I need to rebuild an engine. I can't tell Dad because he was right. And bless her heart, she sent me the money and never told my father. I finally told my father right before he died, Dad, I got to tell you this story. And he said, it's okay. We all do things that we're not proud of. It's okay. Don't worry. So I got it off my chest, you know.
I had a friend who owned a Beetle. I think it was in college, and the floor fell out of it.
Oh,
so
no.
they weren't exactly Japanese quality back then.
Exactly. Yeah. We're talking about Volkswagen this hour, admitting that it had sold more than 14. Now it's 14 million, Mickey says. Diesel cars with this software that lowered pollution levels during emission testing, but, you know, you get them on the road, these cars were putting dirt into the air, and one of the reasons people bought them was because they were supposed to be cleaner. So Volkswagen has a mess on its hands, and we're talking about it this hour of the program and welcoming your phone calls. Mickey has been with us many times before talking about cars. She really knows her cars. She is the managing editor of web content at the Reynolds Center for Business Journalism at the Cronkite School at Arizona State University. She's a contributor to Forbes as well, and we're talking about the VW scandal really this hour. Here's how you reach our conversation. Keep the number in mind. Our lines are all filled, but eventually there will be a chance for you. 800-486-8655. Email talk at WPR.org. Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. Twitter, at K Dunn Show. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Okay, let's go to phone calls for Mickey Maynard, and we start with Mike in Watertown. Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Unfortunately, I guess at this point, I bought a 2013 Passat TDI. We were shopping for a green car, and were impressed with the Passat because it had more room in it, basically. The battery cars, a lot of space was taken up by the batteries. And been very pleased with the vehicle till now.
Right.
Still kind of pleased with it, the way it drives and stuff. But I guess I feel like I was defrauded.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, I know that whatever VW does here, the car is going to be worth less. I was wondering if there was any, I'm not sure how the Dodge buyback worked. I wondered if that would, if you thought that would be a possibility on this. And the other question that came up as I was waiting, you talked about some sort of bladder fixed. Where would that go? And do you know more about that?
Sure. Well, Mike, I apologize that you're going through this experience. It has to be just so disappointing. A couple of things. First of all, there has been talk of a buyback program, which would be incredibly expensive for Volkswagen, but they may be ordered to do so. So the way this works is that the emissions officials in the different countries will order VW to do certain things. So in the United States, it's quite possible that the EPA or the Transportation Department could order Volkswagen to buy back these vehicles. And generally what happens is they look at how old your vehicle is, what it would be now worth on the market, you know, absent these problems, and then you'll get an offer. So if you paid $24,000 for a Passat in 2013, it's now maybe worth $17,000. That's what they would offer you. And in terms of the retrofit, so I've been looking at a lot of schematics online, and I encourage people who are really interested in this to go online and look at some of the different drawings that are out there. They could take room out of the trunk, or they could go somewhere under the under the car and install this device. And I apologize that I'm not an engineer, but essentially you'd have to, they call it a urea, U-R-E-A, like, you know, bladder. And they would have to run the emissions through this and then out the tailpipe. So they would have to take a piece of the car apart and find space for it.
Okay. Well, my 2013 does take that additive.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, maybe it's not in the recall. I don't know. They haven't really explained that, but I thought it was all...
What's the liter on your car? Is it a 2.0, or what size engine do you have?
I don't know.
Yeah, so there are some diesels that are not affected by this. There's a couple different sizes of diesel engines. There's a 1.3 liter and a 2.0 liter. So it would also depend on what size engine you have. And we honestly don't know very many details at this point yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't even know at this point. His car might eventually be in the same boat, right? Because we're just getting new information about some of their other liter engines.
That's exactly right. There have been some sizes of engines added to this whole situation since we got the first information. So sit tight, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all.
Well, what is the one now? What is the
proper? So there's a 1.3 and a 2.0. And do you know what your displacement is?
Just looking through the title doesn't really show that.
Yeah. It would probably be in your owner's manual.
Yeah, it's in the car. Okay.
Right. Off you go to the car, Mike.
All right. Gave me some good news here.
Yeah, good luck, Mike.
Thanks, Mike, very much for your call. Let's go to Michael in Milwaukee. Hi, Michael.
Hello there. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a 2014 Golf, which I'm in right now. It's my second
gosh.
Golf. I'd be willing to give Volkswagen, a chance to make me happy. Either they buy this car back or they give me a deal on a new gasoline car. Or they fix the car, so that it performs adequately. I don't know how they're going to fit a urea tank in my little car because there's not much room in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see what they do. I'm worried. I'm going to get a little bit impatient. If this drags on for months or a year, and my car starts getting a lot of miles on it, I'd really like them to resolve this within the next, 3-4 months or something.
Will they, Mickey?
Well, it depends. So, first of all, we have to get the proposed fix from Volkswagen. And they claimed that they were going to have something very quickly. But, quickly in the car business could be like by the end of October. Then that has to be approved by the governing bodies in the different markets. And Germany is looking at this, obviously, very closely because Germans are super upset about this. So is the EPA. So that would have to be approved. And then there would have to be a rollout plan to fix the cars if it was going to be a retrofit. So I don't really think we'll see anything much before Christmas. I think it would maybe be early 2016. And on the buyback thing, I don't think you should worry about rolling up miles on your car because there will be a date at which the EPA declares, the value as of, say, October 1st. So if you were to drive another 1,000 miles between now and the end of the year, I think they would roll it back to October 1st. You know what I would be doing is taking a lot of notes on your car and maybe every week write down your mileage so that you just have a paper trail on what you've got here.
Kathy sent us this email. I own a VW Jetta Sport Wagon Diesel. I've just returned from New York, and my trip average was 55.4 MPG.
Yeah.
Drove 70 miles an hour, had the air conditioning on. If VW can do that, I hope they can fix the emission problem. Otherwise, I'll continue to drive my Ford F-250, which gets 15 miles an hour. You know those cars, don't you, Mickey?
Well, the other thing you have to keep in mind is how many people will actually take it in to be fixed? Because that's always been a frustration for the transportation department and for the EPA is that they issue these recalls and people don't go in and get them fixed. And so we could have a portion of these cars that people just say it's too big of a hassle to go in and get it retrofitted. I'll just keep driving. And the problem with that is that you're spewing emissions that it isn't like a car accident where somebody is killed, but excess emissions are a danger to anyone with respiratory issues. Right. And we saw over the last, 40 years in the United States how much of a difference it's made to clean up air pollution, to stop smoking, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, you're killing the earth, right?
Essentially, you're contributing to greenhouse gases, that's for sure.
Yeah. Michael, thanks. We go to Frank in Onalaska. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
It's my understanding that in the light of the cutbacks that we make on agencies like the EPA, is that this type of emission testing is a process that the EPA relies on the manufacturers to certify the data. The EPA doesn't spend the money to test themselves. So while I'm really displeased that Volkswagen would be the company that would be found out, I got to believe that other companies with similar diesel emissions and other vehicles do the same kind of thing in terms of cheating the EPA process. So my suggestion is that any funds and fines that the EPA recovers that they use for checking all these other diesel engines out there, is there any discussion of that? Because my understanding was VW was discovered by a group of, if it's not by, state emissions testing like they do in Colorado, that it was a group of individual students that just happened to, find this out.
So it was actually, academics and students in California and West Virginia who are responsible for digging this up. But I did want to say that, having been to the EPA labs in Ann Arbor, they do test cars. They don't test everybody's car. They do rely on the companies to give them good information. But what they have told the car companies is that they could be pulling vehicles from their production fleets into the labs. So I don't think the car makers can relax and say, hey, just because I sent you this data, I should be all right. And I think it's a very interesting situation right now because more and more people in this country are aware of emissions. They're aware of fuel economy. They're aware of CO2. They care about this. And maybe in the 60s or 70s, nobody would have cared. But now people actually care. And I think Volkswagen, picked the wrong thing to cheat on, essentially.
So could you have the same problem with a gas engine as you do with the diesel?
No, diesels are different. Diesel fuel is a different composition of gas. Now, there could be a cheating attempt on some kind of emissions from a gasoline car, sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, they might try to cheat on, carbon dioxide emissions or something else, but diesels are dirty. I mean, diesel, there is clean diesel fuel, but essentially it's more dirty than unleaded gasoline. And what's been happening, especially in Europe, are efforts to clean up diesels because, as Kathy was saying, you get such great fuel economy right from a diesel engine. But diesel fuel is just configured differently than unleaded gasoline.
Mm-hmm. So let me get this right. When we go and have our cars tested, which we have to do every so often for emissions mm-hmm. control, are we getting accurate readings? Is that test accurate, or do you have to be out on the road with a car and drive it for a longer period of time?
Well, in many states, you just drive into what looks like a gas station, and they hook your car up and they test it. And what comes out of the fuel pipe and is measured by the machinery is essentially what your emissions are. I don't think they run them out on the road. Unfortunately, we don't have emissions testing in Michigan. And
you
I
don't.
Believe it's, no, isn't that interesting? The state where the
yes.
auto industry is based doesn't have emissions testing. So I've never actually had one of my cars
Mickey.
Tested for emissions. No, but I own a Prius. So I know that that my CO2 emissions are pretty low with the Prius.
Right.
But yeah, and so what VW had basically done was rig the car so that you would get a good number. And what the researchers did was actually go out on the road and measure what was coming out of the car.
I see. Sean in Madison is next. Hi, Sean.
Hello, Kathleen, and hello to your guest. Terrific show, as always. Very important. Thanks for talking about it. I'm calling. I'm a longtime diesel driver, longtime diesel enthusiast, and a longtime Volkswagen enthusiast. I drive an 02 Jetta Wagon TDI with a 1.9 TDI, and it's obviously not involved in the recall mm-hmm. and a different kind of story. What I wanted to just chime in was I hear a lot of what I would consider knee-jerk response, possibly in some spots, and this is not just on the show, but in general, melodramatic overreaction about how horrible Volkswagen is and how terrible these diesel engines suddenly must be that they're not this magic silver bullet to save the environment. And all I wanted to chime in with was, it's a large car corporation. They're here to make money for their shareholders as well as make vehicles. And they do lie to us. They all lie to us. And they try to do things that will cut corners to keep profits high. And I guess I fault them for that to some extent, but I also recognize that it happens across the board. And so I don't like that Volkswagen did this thing, but it doesn't surprise me. And I'm sure it's happening in other companies. And I would say that if you look at diesels from a worldwide historical perspective, especially if you're willing to look at the way biodiesel, if you look at the genesis of the diesel engine and why it was created so farmers could feed it with the crops that they already had, if we looked at that, it's maybe a more systemic problem with why the engine isn't doing what it could do. I think everyone might feel maybe a little bit less upset, a little bit less reactive about it. And I wonder what your guest thinks about that.
Well, thank you, Sean. And it's nice to know that your car is not probably going to be involved in this recall. Right. But I'd say this, I think if Volkswagen's situation happened in a vacuum, that it might not be getting hit with all of the angst and criticism that it's getting, but it follows on the General Motors ignition switch issue.
Yes.
And it follows on the Toyota sudden acceleration issue. And so here we've had literally the world's three biggest car makers, because it was GM, then Toyota passed it, then Volkswagen passed the two of them. The world's three biggest car makers who've all been involved in recall scandals, essentially. They've all either covered up or lied or delayed or essentially kept people from getting the repairs that their cars needed. And so Volkswagen is following on the heels of these other two companies. And I think people are just like, who are we going to trust?
Right.
Which major car company is really telling us the truth? And I think folks are throwing up their hands and saying, what the heck, people?
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. What the heck, people? Tell the truth.
Maybe. Yeah, I would. I think the word might be a little bit different,
right.
But this is public radio.
Thanks, Mickey. Anything more, Sean?
But no, I guess I couldn't agree more. I would just reiterate that people who think that large for-profit corporations that are in business to make and sell things and make profits for their shareholders are always going to come across with every important fact. I think those people are, living in another world.
Mm-hmm.
But more than anything, I just reiterate that I think diesels have a place in our modern society in terms of meeting transportation needs for an awfully large group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can maybe approach it a little bit more from a gestalt perspective, like what's the engine for? How can we use it? How can we do this instead of just, God forbid, like the Chrysler K car diesel, from the 70s was such a fiasco, it was set up for failure. And in some ways, Volkswagen has created this unfortunate situation by trying to sell it as a silver bullet. And thanks for all the work you're
Thank
doing.
You.
Thanks for the show.
Thanks, Sean. Thanks for the call.
Sure. Thank you.
Ryan White writes on Facebook, Mickey, I don't think people care that much about the emissions and will not take their VWs in for the fix because they don't want the worse fuel economy. That's the real reason they bought the car.
Well, maybe not, but I bet they'll take the checks if Volkswagen offers to buy back their cars.
Right. I think you're right. Let's go to John in Green Bay. Hi, John.
Hi there. Good afternoon. First off, I'd just like to say that we own two Beetle diesels. My wife has an 02. I have an 06. I know mine is a 1.9 liter, and I believe my wife's would probably be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Will that affect our cars with this whole business?
I don't know. I mean, the issue seems to have come up from 2007 onward, actually 2009, 2010. So your cars might be too old to fall under this. But you know what I bet's going to happen is that they won't stop with the 2009 through 2015 cars. They'll go back farther just to check
right.
if the defeat device is on your cars. What kind of gas mileage do you get on those Beetles?
Well, I drive like a wild man, so I don't get it as good as my wife. She's got the 5-speed. I've got the auto. But I get 45, 48, real easy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why people buy these vehicles.
Right. Yeah, that's great gas mileage. Thanks very much for your call, John. We'll take more in a moment. We're talking about the VW fiasco, and Mickey mentioned, and it's worth mentioning again, that it's the third now. We had Toyota, that acceleration, the car going too fast, the ignition defect at GM that resulted in deaths. And now we've got what's going on at VW. Who can you trust and why can't you trust? Why don't people just tell us the truth? So we're hearing from a lot of people who have these cars, actually, and are wondering what they can do. What will VW do? Why did this happen? How was it discovered? Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. And we are on Twitter, and that's @KDunnShow. More calls for Mickey in a moment. And this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mickey Maynard is our guest this hour. Mickey is the managing editor of web content at the Reynolds Center for Business Journalism at the Cronkite School at Arizona State University. She's a contributor to Forbes. She's author of Curbing Cars, America's Independence from the Auto Industry, and she's former Detroit bureau chief for the New York Times. Let's go to Richard next. Hi, Richard.
Hello, Kathleen. Thanks for taking my call, and good afternoon to you and Mickey. This subject interests me. I just purchased a new Passat here within the last month and a half. But the thing is, I've been following the story, and they say possibly one of the cures is to add this urea tank with the urea injection, and mine has that. And so I'm just wondering if they didn't know about this problem and was possibly starting to, refit these cars before they were sent to the dealers. Like I say, mine is new, so I'm just curious about that.
Well, that's fascinating, and they have included that urea device on the newer vehicles. It would be very interesting. At the very minimum, they're going to have to retest all these cars to see where they stand. And it's very clear, if you don't have the urea device, you're in the recall, essentially. But it would be very interesting, and I don't know if the researchers in California or West Virginia were able to test any cars with urea devices because they might just be too new. And I don't know if Volkswagen's motivation was to, to get out ahead of this. We do know that Volkswagen knew something several years ago, and that Volkswagen, it's interesting to read, there's a New York Times story that was just great on this a couple of days ago, and they said that back in the 90s that Volkswagen had been warned about defeat devices and not to use them on its vehicles. So this defeat device is apparently a well-known technology on emissions, and so is a urea tank. And so it'd be very interesting if VW quietly retrofitted some vehicles knowing this was coming, because they sure knew in 2014 that they were going to have a situation on their hands. Mm.
Did you pay more? We talked about an extra $350. Did you notice an upward price in the cost of the car, Richard?
No, actually not. I actually thought it was a very good deal on it. I mean, I compared them to the gas engines. Mm-hmm. And, it was only like about $1,500 more. But with, VW incentives and that, I think I paid just about the same as I would have with the gas engine. And the reason I like the diesel with the standard transmission is everything was manufactured in Germany, and then sent to the Chattanooga plant. Whereas, with the gas engines, I think the gas engine was made in Japan, and I believe the automatic transmission is in, I forget which country, but some other country. So I just opted for the German-made. Now I'm starting to second-guess that.
Right.
But I have another diesel vehicle, and I know this thing would never even come close. It's a GM diesel back from the early 80s.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, when I start that,
you have to wear a face mask around that car.
But, it brings me to another question is, I kind of live right on a main highway here, and all the trucks that go by, I mean, they're spewing out stuff that I don't even want to know. And I'm just wondering, is, do they have to do any kind of emission testing?
Oh, absolutely. They're definitely heavy truck standards. And you'll notice that some of the newer trucks spew much less in emissions than some of those older trucks that you'll see on the road. I used to go to places like Paris and Frankfurt for the motor shows over there, and I would come back with migraine headaches, and it turned out that I was allergic to both cigarettes and diesel fumes. So my trips to Europe might have sounded glamorous, but I was, you know, lying down with a wet washcloth over my eyes when I got home.
Thanks, Richard.
I haven't had that issue lately, though.
I still can't imagine how VW is going to deal with this massive number of cars all over the world. 14 million cars is a huge number, Mickey.
The interesting thing, too, about it is I've started to see public relations people writing essays about how Volkswagen needs to get out ahead of this because it's just failing in its communication effort. And this whole thing with the CEO saying, "I'm not aware of any wrongdoing on my part," that's not the soundbite that you want.
No.
So there's a lot that's going to come still from this story.
Charles in Milwaukee. Hi.
I work in the diesel engine industry, and I think I'd like to add a little bit different perspective here. First of all, you're talking about an extremely complicated technical issue. The standards that the diesel engine manufacturers have to comply with are thousands of pages long. They're subject to interpretation, and in fact, there's constant negotiation going on with both EPA and CARB over compliance, and there are numerous engine manufacturers that are in litigation at various stages of litigation with EPA over regulatory compliance. I'd like to ask your guest, first of all, if she knows specifically which emission standard Volkswagen is accused of not being in compliance with.
What, like the number of it? I can't cite that.
Are we talking about NOx or particulates?
I believe we're talking about particulates.
Okay.
But you know, it is the it's the EPA.
This what? Is not a static standard that the EPA has imposed increasingly stringent standards over the past decade.
So there was a standard that anyone selling. So passenger cars are different from heavy trucks. So the heavy truck standards, which are probably what you're most familiar with, if I'm guessing right, are different from the passenger car standards.
Mm-hmm.
So the heavy truck standards, I've been to Cummins, I visited Chrysler's diesel operations up here in Detroit. Yes, those are incredibly complex, and building a diesel truck engine is something that I wish everybody could go visit the factory because it's an absolutely fascinating thing. But there are not many diesel engines built for cars. So those standards are a little clearer, a little simpler. Volkswagen knew exactly what it was dealing with.
Thanks, Charles, for your call. Ron in La Crosse, hi.
Yes, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy buff, but, you know, as you know, in the early 90s, GM had to build the all-electric EV1 to meet the government's corporate average fuel economies. And I was I don't know when, what year GM started to scrap it, but it probably was sometime after they won a court battle with the state of California over their stricter emission standards. And the case went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in favor of GM, and it seems that California wasn't allowed to have their own stricter emission standards. And I was just wondering, do you know when this General Motors decided to litigate against California on that issue, when they started to institute that lawsuit?
No, I don't. I'm sorry.
Let's go to Scott in Iowa. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I kind of had to echo some things I've heard earlier in the program. You know, I'm a truck driver. We drive a lot of heavy trucks. We have a lot of particle emissions. Mm-hmm. And I know passenger vehicles are different. However, what I think we may be failing to realize here is that I don't think we're figuring in the fuel economy of that Jetta that we're driving. If you consider, say, I've got a minivan that's getting 12 to 14 miles to the gallon. For every gallon of fuel I burn, I'm putting out X amount of particulates, but I'm only going 14 miles. Now, that diesel motor is putting out, you know, the same amount of particulates in every gallon, as long as the engine's burning efficiently, the same amount of particulates. However, if they're going 50 miles on that 1 gallon of diesel, they have far fewer particulates, you know, released per mile compared to any other probably vehicle on the road because of the efficiency of those diesel motors. So I feel like in the whole big scheme of things, this is not a huge deal just because of the fact that those diesel motors are so efficient as far as using so little fuel.
Well, there's something to think about in the Volkswagen case. By selling these engines, it qualified for a whole bunch of tax breaks. So there are green car tax breaks in the United States. There are green car tax breaks around the world. And so essentially Volkswagen said, hey, our engines are clean. And everybody said, okay, you're going to get these tax breaks. We haven't even talked about that. But there's definitely the possibility that Volkswagen's not only in trouble because of you know, spewing emissions. And by the way, it's nitrous oxide. I'm sorry. I think I said particulates earlier. It's nitrogen oxide. It's NOx, okay. Which is something that should be cleaned out of the diesel fumes and is not, essentially. So this is a bigger issue for Volkswagen than just the vehicles it sold to people. It also took money from governments by claiming to be something it wasn't.
Yeah, well, they lied. You know, they lied. Even if they get great gas mileage, they were lying on a whole other level.
Well, they rigged the cars, you know, and there were some issues back in the early 1970s. It was GM, Ford, Chrysler, Toyota, VW. They had these switches that were on the cars that were essentially supposed to, you know, do the job of what, you know, what was supposed to be cleaned out of the vehicles. And there was a GM fine in the 90s, Ford. You know, so this is not a new situation in the auto industry. It's not a new situation in the heavy truck industry either. But it doesn't make it any less bad, I guess I would say.
Jim writes on Facebook, 5 years from now, nobody will remember. I wouldn't buy a foreign car anyway.
I think everybody will remember. I mean, the Toyota scandal was in 2009, and we're all still writing about that.
And what about this idea, I wouldn't buy a foreign car anyway? It sounds like cars are made all over the place, right?
Well, Volkswagens are made in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Fords are made in Mexico, and GM cars are made in China. So what's a foreign car?
Right. Why is it, you wrote a piece for Forbes recently that looked at why it was that the CEO of both GM and Toyota stayed, even though they had serious issues here too, but VW left. Was that fair? I don't know. Why did that happen?
Well, I think in the case of both Mary Barra at General Motors and Akio Toyota at Toyota, they were barely in the CEO position when their scandals broke out. And by contrast, Martin Winterkorn had been CEO for, I believe, 8 years. So I don't think he can say, he says, I'm not aware that I did anything wrong, but it certainly went on while he was there. And the other situation with both those companies was that they vowed complete cultural change, or efforts at least, at reorganizing their management as a result of those scandals, and we haven't really seen that yet from Volkswagen.
So, Mickey, what needs to happen for VW to do the right thing?
Well, I honestly think they'll have to do a buyback. I don't think retrofitting the cars is enough, because I'm not sure if people will believe them. So I think what we're going to do is probably see that VW will offer consumers either cash equivalent to the Blue Book value of their vehicles, and then possibly a credit on a new vehicle, something like that. And I don't expect it to happen soon. I would say it would probably be early 2016.
Does that put the company under? Can they afford to do that?
No, they can afford it. Volkswagen is a huge company. It's not money that they would want to spend on something like this, but it won't. Somebody said that Volkswagen needs to go into bankruptcy and reorganize. And what you have to remember is German bankruptcy laws are much different from American bankruptcy laws. I don't think the German government is going to bail out Volkswagen. And I think if they went into bankruptcy, they probably wouldn't come out of it. So I think VW is going to have to just fight this out.
Mm. And what about all the people along the line who you mentioned earlier who knew what was happening? Why weren't there more whistleblowers here?
Well, the thing about Volkswagen, first of all, they're based in Wolfsburg, Germany, which is not an easy place to get to. It's not like Frankfurt. It's not like Munich. You have to fly, I think, to Berlin and then drive to get to Wolfsburg. So it's a little bit of an isolated company. And Volkswagen owns Wolfsburg, essentially. So you would not have people ratting on other people and gossiping to their friends in the industry the way you might in Detroit or Tokyo or someplace like that. I think that their insular nature and their big worldview is probably going to be found to have worked against them in this.
Mickey, thanks so much. Always a delight to speak with you.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, Kathleen. Thanks for your interest in this topic.
Yeah, absolutely. Mickey Maynard is frequently with us. She's the managing editor of web content at the Reynolds Center for Business Journalism at the Cronkite School at Arizona State University, a contributor to Forbes, and author of Curbing Cars, America's Independence from the Auto Industry. She is the former Detroit bureau chief for the New York Times. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the hour, Scotty Myers for on-air production here in our Milwaukee studios, and thank you for listening.